And here we go. Snakes, rats, and goats. Talking about Survivor Season 31, Episode 8. Hopefully that's less confusing this time.
I'm really proud of you. You figured out a way. Because traditionally, I'll tell our listeners who know and our guest that Ryan usually says Snakes, Rats, and Goats, Season 31, Episode whatever, as though we've been on for 31 years.
31 years. Or if we're, every if we're week British, I get who knows how many years.
Right.
Well,
so you've done it again.
There you go. Yeah. So that is Scott. He's one of our co-hosts, and I'm Ryan Elder, and welcome to the show.
Welcome.
And Scott, I have to say, we've done it again. We've got an awesome guest this week.
We sure do.
Another one. She is a writer for the Onion News Network and Clickhole, which is a sweet sort of like fake clickbait website. If you don't, I mean, everyone knows
it's
what
from
it is.
The same fine folks who put out the Onion.
Yes, it's Megan Green. Welcome, Megan Green. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, hi.
Hi, Megan.
Me.
Do you go by Megan Green or Megan Miley Green?
It's easier to find me if you look for Megan Miley Green, because there are millions of Megan Greens in the world.
So that's her professional name,
right? Good point. Good point.
You've already screwed it up.
I'm offended.
Well, I'm happy we touched on that, though, because now it's very clear to our listeners if they want to find you.
Absolutely.
Or avoid me.
Or avoid. As I try and am clearly failing at. Welcome, Megan. Welcome,
Thanks.
Everybody. Welcome, Ryan.
Yes, let's talk about Survivor.
Megan, we ask our guests every week, have you ever seen Survivor? And if so, how much have you seen of Survivor?
Okay. I started watching the first season back when I think I was in like middle school. I would sit down and watch with my family. And we loved it. And we loved it when Richard Hatch, if that is his correct name, am I getting that right?
You That's are. Right.
When he won, we were like.
You loved that.
Well, we couldn't believe it. We were like, bad people can win things. Like, if you blew our minds.
That was how I reacted, because it didn't occur to me at the time that the bad guy could win. And that was one of the things that made me fall in love with the show.
Exactly. Like, that never happened on TV before. So that was great. He was the first anti-hero in this golden age of television.
Yes. Before Walter White. And Don Draper, you're saying there was Richard Hatch?
Exactly, yeah. I would say those characters are based on him.
Yeah.
He is sort of like an equidistant between them.
Well, Walter White did have that one episode where he was wandering around naked.
Exactly.
Good point. Good point.
So you saw the first season.
I haven't really watched since then.
Since the first season or...
Maybe since like the third or fourth. Like, we watched for a while. I don't have like much memory of the characters or anything like that. But then like watching this one again was like stepping back in time. I kind of got back into the groove right away, remembered how it all worked. It really hasn't changed much.
Not really. There's some new wrinkles. You know, hidden immunity idols are a thing now. Which they weren't then, and as
which
we see,
probably gathered
that.
I caught on.
They can have a huge impact on the game, as we saw this evening. Spoiler alert for those of you that are watching the episode while listening to the podcast.
For those of you listening to a Survivor podcast but don't watch the show, spoiler ahead.
Yes. So, yeah, so great. That's perfect, because that's what we like to have guests that haven't seen much of the show to get their take on the craziness that's going on right now.
Did you recognize any members of the cast? Because as I'm sure you gathered, this is a second chance season.
When Jeff Probst kept saying Wigglesworth over and over and over again, that name like came back to me. It was like he was summoning it, and then I started to remember her.
Conjuring her.
Yeah, exactly. I can tell he like really liked saying her name. But besides that, nobody looked familiar to me.
Well, one of the reasons that he says Wigglesworth instead of Kelly is that there's another Kelly and her last name is Wentworth. So there are two Kelly whose last name is W. Worth, Wiggles and Went. So to differentiate, this is really interesting stuff. He calls her Wigglesworth. So yeah. For our listeners who don't know that.
Yeah, right. Should we dive right into the episode? Start going through it?
Yeah, it was a doozy.
All right, so Scott, how worried were you when during the previously on, Jeff said that Kelly Wentworth was on the bottom?
Not at all.
Not at all worried.
Not in the least.
Megan, do you want to give Scott's preseason winner pick was Kelly Wentworth.
Oh boy.
My prediction. Not necessarily who I'm rooting for, although I'm not saying I'm not rooting for her, but that was my prediction, and I remain committed to that prediction. And I was not worried because what?
What drew you to her?
Well, without being too repetitive of what I've said before, she is what I call an Amber Alert returning character. And that means that she, in the tradition of a returning player named Amber from the first All-Stars, she's somebody who wasn't really an All-Star from her first season, who was gone very early on her first season, who we didn't really know much of, and who was cast probably half because, you know, she's a young, attractive woman and they needed to fill that slot. And she's put in with all of these big players and alpha players. And so traditionally in these returning player seasons, somebody like that has the opportunity to play under the radar. And as we saw last night, be completely underestimated and then come out on top while the bigger players gun for each other. So that was the specific reason I predicted her. And then from the first episode on, it's only reinforced to me that they have been editing her in such a way as to explain, justify, tell the story of her at least getting to the end of the season. And I still think winning. And I think that the previously on Ryan was an attempt to paint her as an underdog to make her ultimate victory more exciting. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think you're right, but can I propose to you the
I'm
idea
already
that her edit this season has been entirely leading up to this moment and now her story is done?
That is the alternate, and I've considered that. Yes.
We'll see.
It could be done because if she remains in this minority alliance of three, then yeah, I mean, there's nowhere to go from here for her. But so one possibility is, yeah, her whole story led up to last night and now it's over. The other possibility is that last night was the night she won the game.
Yeah, good. Very, very true.
She pulled a major move, turned the game around, got out a major alpha player, and earned applause from the people that she basically was screwing over.
Except for Savage. She won a big fat middle finger.
Yeah.
By the way, this episode should be, this show should now be called Savage Giving the Finger to Things.
My God. He fell apart. Something broke inside him a couple episodes ago. But yeah, I still think she's going to win. And I maintain that we have continued to see her perspective throughout the season, even when she was irrelevant to the particular episode. So,
well, this was a good episode for her. Yeah. Obviously, she really shined. And Megan, what do you think about Kelly Wentworth being a winner pick?
I was shocked by the ceremony at the end. That was like a major like power play. I thought it was great. She really impressed me. I was bored until that happened.
For the entire episode, you were bored?
Pretty much. Like, I was just, I mean, I felt like I was on the side of Sierra or whatever her name is. I was like, why? No one's doing anything. Like, let's make some moves here, people. But then that happened, and then I was like, oh, maybe I'm gonna like watch this show now.
Ah, I like it.
That really, I like loved that. It was so powerful and great when she just pulled out that idol, and even her friends didn't know she had it. Ugh, yeah, loved it. Where was she hiding it?
That's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Love it.
Yeah, where was she hiding it? I'm not going to speculate.
It was in her bag. They showed like a little close-up of her bag, right?
Oh, yeah. I guess she came, you know.
I thought it was in her bra or something. I don't know.
Well, I just think that she has been playing an awesome game. I mean, I predicted her victory partly out of, you know, almost resigned disappointment, because I was like, here's an under the radar player who's, you know, not really that exciting, but she's gonna be nice enough and well liked enough to win at the end, you know, blah blah blah, like Amber. And I think she's been playing a badass game, and the fact that, I mean, obviously the way she found the idol and got it was really exciting in the premiere, but the way she kept it a secret, I mean, so many of these dummies tell everybody that they have a hidden idol. And I loved that she kept it completely secret. They completely underestimated her. The fact that they did not split the vote
was crazy.
Just a testament to how well she played them, and that they were stupid enough to think that there is no way she had an idol and there's no way that she could outsmart them, and she kicked their asses. So
what's funny is she found the idol so early that she could then give up. She could then pretend like she, or just never look for it. So everyone sees her and they go, oh, she never looks for it. She can't have it.
But she also actively planted the seeds that Terry had it.
Right. Right. Which, I mean, worked out for her.
Which worked out great for her. And then with Terry out of the game, people might've thought that the idol went with him.
Ah, interesting point. I hadn't thought about that. What would they do? Yeah, so I bet they started looking for an idol as soon as Terry left.
Well, what did they do when Colton went out with an idol, you know, for medical reasons?
Didn't Colton give it to someone?
Oh, yeah, he gave it to somebody. Yeah, anyway. Stupid. Anyway.
Stupid Colton.
Dumb guy. Well, I love that she didn't tell anybody, and she played it great, and okay, so why the fact that they didn't split the vote when they did it last week? Now, Megan, you traditionally, since this era of hidden immunity idols began, they will often hedge their bets if they have enough votes, and they'll say, well, we want Kelly out, but in case she has an idol, there's 9 of us, we'll give 5 votes to Kelly, 4 to Sierra. And then the other 3 can vote for whoever they want. If Kelly has an idol, then she'll stay and Sierra will go. Be the majority alliance play that
it
they
would have been smart.
Have done. Would have been smart. And so it's shocking to me that they didn't do it. They did it the prior week.
Yeah, that's what really confuses me, is that the prior week they did it, everything went swimmingly. They just got cocky, this bro alliance, you know? Let's talk about the bro alliance, because it's sort of a theme starting at the beginning. We got Savage, Jeremy, Steven. They're kind of bringing in Spencer a little bit. They got Joe and Tasha being an honorary bro, I guess.
But Tasha's more of a bro than
Spencer, for sure.
Than Steven.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We got to talk. That's Steven. But Steven, go ahead, Megan.
Is the worst. He was already the worst, and then all of a sudden they show him wearing a tweed jacket on the beach, and I just needed him to not only be off the show, but also like maybe be just in a ditch somewhere. I can't have him on Earth.
Steven is diabolical.
I mean, and doesn't he look like he is just on the verge of tears throughout the entire hour?
Yeah, he's just like some whiny little hipster. Like, what is he even doing there? How did he get to this point?
Ryan, you want to tell?
Okay, so.
Because it's awesome hearing your reaction to Steven.
Yeah, it's great. Based on one. So, Steven's first season, he was really kind of, he got runner up. He was second place to, like, you know, America's sweetheart hero, good at everything guy. And Steven was not edited to be such a wiener in his first season. In fact, he was really edited to be like the strategic mastermind behind the duo of him and America's Sweetheart. So,
like, imagine if he was teamed up with that guy, Joe. It's basically the same thing. Yeah.
Steven is like really, really popular amongst Survivor superfans because he has a blog about the show. He has a podcast called Survivor Know-It-Alls where he is talks about strategy. And, you know, as Savage said, he claims to be one of the more strategically minded players to ever play the game.
And if you would have watched his first season, you probably would have been rooting for him. He was like the nerd who was
making
the moves behind the scenes and nobody really knew what he was up to.
And it's really a testament to what they're trying to do with Steven this season that your takeaway is that he's so hateable.
Every episode this season, Megan, they have gone out of their way to show you every dumb thing Steven has said or done. Every time he tries to chop a coconut and can't do it. Every flub at a challenge, like even last night, like they made sure to leave in the, and you know, all of these things are heavily edited. The challenge alone takes longer than an episode. So what they choose to leave in is very significant. And they chose to leave in Jeff Probst saying, Steven thought he had it, but he was wrong. Gotta do something different. Every opportunity. And Steven has fed into it by this season. I mean, he appears to be so insecure, so on the verge of tears, and so obsessed with getting Joe out at all costs because he projects the guy who beat him 5 years ago onto Joe.
Okay. Or he's like jealous of Joe's mane of hair.
Yeah. Well, who isn't, though?
Who's that? Count me onto that.
Really, I mean, huge hunking dreams.
Joe can pretty much do anything. So Steven is correct to think that they should get him out because if he makes it to the end, he's an easy winner. But his obsession and making him his white whale, as he put it, you would have loved last week, Megan, because they were sitting in the shelter in the rain and out of the blue, Steven decided to recite an epic poem.
No.
You would have hated him so much. He was just like, hey, I got a poem for you guys.
But he was more wienery about it than that. That's way too confident. He was like, guys, I thought I might recite a poem.
No one has seemed more on the outside of the group all season than Steven.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when you say what they're trying to do with him this year, like what are they doing with him? Like, what is his ultimate? We know he can't win.
Yeah, well, definitely not.
But what, I mean,
he makes it to the end and like the jury goes nuts on him, is my guess. That's my thought.
Yeah, he's just like the guy everybody can hate. I loved the moment when they didn't win the challenge and get to go to the cafe, and he was like, "Guys, I'm sorry. I'm just feeling really down about this.
I'm having a low moment."
Yeah. How about Abby Maria's social game? Suck it up.
She goes, get over it.
Get over it. Suck it up.
Oh, man.
They were so unsympathetic towards him.
Yeah. I think they can't stand him. But interestingly, Jeremy saved him.
Yeah, well, that's what I find really interesting. So Jeremy wants to keep Steven around because he considers Steven a bigger target than himself. And I think he's right, obviously, as we've seen. Mm. I think it's in Jeremy's best interest to go, I don't know, like the first two or three people that get suggested, Jeremy should be like, I don't want to get rid of those people. You know, like it's interesting. It is like Steven said last week, it's an evolution of the game where they're getting rid of the Ambers, the under the radar player, or they're trying to get rid of the under the radar players who seem like they could win just because they're not going to piss anyone off along the way. They're trying to get rid of those people so that it is just these like big alpha male or strong players at the end. It's really interesting.
It is an amazing evolution that, I mean, they need to get to the point where they realize that literally everybody is a threat. Everybody who's not you is a threat.
Yeah, and how do you negotiate your way to the end when it's all people who could win that are left? That's crazy to me. Like,
well, there's a few people left who can't win.
Yeah, Steven can't win, obviously. I mean, based on Abby, the edit, Kimmy can't win, but she might be able to win if, you know, I don't know that the people out on the island think that she can't win.
Right. I mean, if she makes it to the end, then
it depends on who she's there against.
Yeah. If she won, we would be seeing a lot more of her this season.
The person that I think is like one of the biggest threats, and a lot of people can't beat her, is Kelly Wigglesworth. Her story is just way too good.
Yeah.
I don't think you can afford to take her even close to the end.
No. No.
No, that's it.
I don't know. I don't. Do you remember Kelly Wigglesworth? I know you remember her name, Megan.
But what was her story?
She lost to Richard Hatch.
She was the runner-up.
She's the runner-up?
Oh. Yeah. She was in the alliance with Richard and a couple other sort of big characters, but then became like conflicted, and she was like, I don't want to be in alliance. Alliances are evil, and I don't want to be with these people. And then the alliance wanted to vote her out, but then she won every immunity at the end. So she made it to the end against Richard, and she lost in the finals by one vote. She was the target of that famous speech where Sue Hawk said that if she was lying in the roads dying of thirst and hunger, that Sue would pass her by and leave her to the vultures with no ill regrets.
Okay, it's coming back. It's washing over me.
Yeah.
So, but then to come back 15 years later and make it to the end again, like, it'd be hard not to vote for her to win.
Kind of makes you wonder what's going on in her life that 15 years later she wants to revisit that, you know?
What are you speculating?
Why not, though?
I don't know. It's like, get over it, man. You didn't win.
She doesn't seem to have that kind of attitude. We're not getting a lot of like, you know, this is it. I really need to get revenge.
We're not getting anything from her. This is probably like the, how many episodes in a row without a confessional
from her? Completely invisible, yeah. So I think it's more like CBS wanted her back, and because she said she's from season one, she's huge. And she was like, yeah, sure. I'll take money to I'll get paid to go camping for 39 days. And hey, maybe I'll win $1 million in the process, you know?
Which I think was her attitude the first time too.
Exactly. Exactly.
What, Megan?
I mean, I guess I see it. I don't know. Like, I just feel like, once you've been on the show that long ago, I wouldn't want to be seen coming back. But
well, you wouldn't want to be seen going on in the first place, would you?
And that's the thing. I have a reputation to uphold. So.
Yes. Yeah, you clearly do. Now, what about your favorite? Now, I know this about Megan. What's your favorite reality show
that you watch religiously? The Bachelorette.
Right. And the whole Bachelor Nation.
Yeah.
Bachelor in Paradise, etc.
Absolutely. Bachelor Pad.
Did you enjoy the Burning Love, the sort of parody of The Bachelor?
Love it. It was spot on. It was so good.
It's great.
Amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. Now, how does Survivor compare to The Bachelor?
Oh, man. I mean, I feel like in Bachelor, there's strategy, but, like, you can't talk about it. You have to, like, use these veiled things of words and phrases, like, here for the right reasons. And mm-hmm. on Survivor, you can be a little bit more open about things.
Right.
So they kind of are in the same family, but Bachelor, I like that there's this artifice that you're there for emotional reasons and not just to like win or promote yourself.
Yeah.
Where Survivor, it's a little more obvious.
Right. And anytime they do sort of imply that, or when someone tries to say, oh, I'm here on Survivor for emotional reasons, it's often like, I don't know. I don't know if I buy it.
Yeah, or like, they don't.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. Right. Or, you know, sometimes they're like, I need this in my life, you know, I need this experience or whatever, but.
And on Survivor, like, if you are there for emotional reasons, like, that could get you voted off.
Also, the big difference is on Survivor, it seems everyone, like, really turns against the smallest girls. And that's, like, they usually get the farthest and have the most power and are right. The most devious.
That's true. That's true.
That's really interesting. Yeah. This season, it's definitely the case where they're turning against the smallest girls. It's not always the case, but...
Well, and it's really rare on Survivor that after the tribes have merged, that they would go after the smallest girls.
Yeah, usually if a small girl makes the merge, they're going to go far.
Yeah,
because they're not a threat.
Extra tough. I don't know. I have like always thought if I was going to go on that show, why not pack on a bunch of extra pounds and then you lose the weight on the show. Because those girls always look like they're about to pass out, like throughout right. everything. And I see why they get picked on. It makes a lot of sense. I don't think they're planning ahead before they go on the show.
Well, yeah. I'm sure there's lots of reasons, you know.
Oh, Sierra is super tiny. Yeah. What do we make of Sierra? Because, you know, Sierra was somebody going into the season that I was a big fan of. And I agree with her point of view that, you know, you guys aren't playing, you're letting this core four people run the show and you're just playing for fifth or sixth place. So I agree with that, but how wise is it to be so aggressive about putting that out there? Is it smart because you may sway some people, or is it dumb because you may annoy some people?
Yeah, I'm really curious about Sierra. Like, why isn't she the bigger target than Kelly Wentworth?
And why did they target her last night? Why didn't they target
her?
Yeah,
and I have a thought, and it's based on one of Jeremy's secret scenes where he talks about how voting out Kelly and not splitting the vote is the safest plan.
Oh, what did he say?
He says, well, we want to get rid of Joe, but we couldn't because he won immunity, so we're going to go after one of his lieutenants, Kelly Wentworth. I think
so
that
Jeremy was into getting rid of Joe.
Yeah, I think that Joe and Kelly Wentworth are tight, fairly tight. And that they, you know, the show isn't really showing us this, but that they wanted to target Kelly because they couldn't get Joe.
Interesting. I thought that it might have something to do with just like she wasn't on the original Bayon tribe, so she was an easy first.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it too, because Sierra was on the original Bayon tribe. But
Kelly seemed like even weaker than Sierra. Like, Sierra has a little fire to her, maybe a little, like, she would put up a little more resistance, and Kelly seemed like you could just bowl over her, which we found out you couldn't, but I think see what she'd be the target.
I think what we've seen of Kelly this season before this episode is that she has a lot of fire, but she usually doesn't show it to the others, which I think is the smarter play. Like, she will go along to get along. As soon as she sees that the numbers aren't going to go the way she wants them to, she'll go with the majority of numbers and vote it the way they want. And they don't know that she didn't want them to vote that way. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
All right. Speaking of going along to getting along, let's talk about the reward challenge. And, my winner pick, Keith's moment in the sun.
Finally, he had something to do. Keith, I love Keith.
Appeared out of nowhere and was a delight.
And you know what? What you just said is true for the entire season. Because Keith was a delight his first time. And then this season, he has basically been invisible. Because I guess he's been irrelevant to most of the story, but he just appeared last night. We finally had a Keith sighting, and it was quite delightful.
Toto.
I feel like if I was a producer, I'd be worried that like Keith was just going to wander off and live in Cambodia just naturally and like stop being part of the show because he doesn't
need them. Become a tuk-tuk driver.
I thought he might drive that Toto off into the distance and like never come back.
Yeah.
he's just a speck on the horizon.
He appeared to be having the time of his life.
Yeah.
I'm driving around my buddies on the beach.
That would be something slick.
It'd be really slick if he could be a tuk-tuk driver in Cambodia. I'm sure he'd make a lot of money doing that.
I also like that his outlook was like, oh, these are my buddies. Like, yeah. He, in his mind, maybe he's just at the beach with his friends this whole time.
He said, he's like, and I get to do it with all my buddies.
I'm not sure that he even knows, like, that there is a game going on. Like, how awesome was that shot when they're on the reward before he drives the thing and they're all talking strategy? And then it just cuts to this long shot of Keith. This long shot of Keith, like mouth agape, just staring. Like, seemed like he didn't really know what to say or what they were talking about, but he was content. Man.
See, this is why he can win, guys. He's just no threat at all, unless the challenge involves balancing balls on something.
He was awesome at that. That was great. I loved it.
Well, he won it once before.
Yeah. He's a master. I actually expected him to win, to be honest.
Yeah.
But at this, you know, Joe is just as good and what, 20 years younger?
Right.
Possibly 30.
There is nothing Joe can't do. I mean, Megan, like, this is your first time seeing Joe. He is not only incredible at these balance things, he's incredibly strong, which he doesn't. I mean, he looks like he's in good shape, but he doesn't look like he's the strongest guy there, but he pretty much is. And he does the puzzles. Whenever they have a mental challenge with the puzzles, he wins. I hate him.
What's his background? How do
he's
he
got hair up the wazoo. What?
What's his background? Does he like, was there anything that gave away that he would be good at this stuff? Like, is his job some sort of, I don't know.
Very macho job. He is a, what, Ryan?
A jewelry designer.
Oh, God, what?
He's the complete package, let me tell you.
I hate these people. Oh, my God.
Really huge, hunking dreams.
Joe can do it all. But so, of course, he won. But Keith would have won if there was no Joe.
That's why easily would have won.
Telling you, last season, Mike would never have won. Mike's best move was getting rid of Joe. Because with Joe there, there's a 90% chance you will never win a challenge.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be Joe.
Yeah. Is Joe the best challenge performer we've ever seen? Like, not just like based on how many wins he's had or anything like that, but just like in his pure dominance of the ones that he does compete in?
I think so, or he's up there.
He's up there with the very best. A lot of people have gone on streaks, but their competition was bad. Like, Joe is competing against some amazing competitors.
Yeah, I mean,
Spencer, Jeremy, you know, Savage. Granted, some of these challenges have not been Savage's forte, but still, like, he wins whatever he wants.
So do you think Keith, I mean, I still don't think Keith's going to win. I'm sorry, Ryan, because he has been so invisible. But I think he could go far. I think if he makes it into the final three, he's got a great argument for winning. It just depends.
I think this is where his Bob Crowley edit kicks in. And now,
but Bob was way more visible.
Keith has been visible, just not like strategically visible in a similar way to Bob.
I'm pulling for you, buddy.
I think he's going to make it further than Wentworth. I'm just going to say that right now.
Really?
I think Wentworth is gone next week.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she has nothing now.
She's got grit and determination.
As we've
Look,
seen that.
No, no. Let me tell you why you're wrong. Because this... They chose the right person to get rid of. Andrew was the one holding a lot of that other side together, other than Jeremy. And I think that without Andrew, that group is going to split into factions.
Who did Andrew have close to him that now won't be close to Jeremy and Steven and that group? He had maybe Tasha. I think she's Joe. Still going to be loyal. Yeah, Joe. He did have Joe, but they want to get rid of Joe anyways.
Tasha. And maybe Wigglesworth.
Is it a foregone conclusion as soon as we see Joe lose, he's out?
It should be a foregone conclusion. But I don't know if it... I don't know.
Yeah.
It should be if they're smart. I mean... That's the other thing I liked about the move last night is I thought that the three who made it voted, you know, they chose the right person. Because sometimes you have that right. opportunity and you vote somebody out who doesn't really matter.
Right.
But he was
they,
a
like,
major
voted threat. Kimmy out or something.
Right. Sometimes that happens. Like, yeah. you know, it's a lot of people, and including you right before we started, compared it to when Jen last season played her idol. And who did they get out? Like Kelly?
Oh, you know what it reminds me of?
Remington.
You know, it's like when the three amigos used their three idols to idle out Philip.
Right. Like Philip was ever going to win.
No, it's terrible.
He was just annoying.
Yeah, exactly. There's just no point in using it to get rid of someone annoying like that.
But on the other hand, when they did get out Philip, they did a major favor to Andrea and Cochran and all those people
right.
who were stuck. They were sort of stuck in an alliance with Philip. And so they did them a favor. They got rid of this guy who was sort of holding them back in a way. And I think Andrew is holding some people back. I mean, this blind allegiance to Joe is holding him back.
I wonder, though, if Jeremy wouldn't have been a better choice. It's hard to say. And I think it's a testament to how great of a game Jeremy's playing that they didn't want to get rid of Jeremy because probably they think they can work with Jeremy.
I think I'm rooting the most for Jeremy because I think he's playing an incredible game.
Yeah, Jeremy, what do you think of Jeremy, Megan? Do you get any vibes from
him? He was very unassuming, which, yeah, I think that means he must be a good player because Andrew did seem like a good choice for them because you saw him holding court and kind of swaying people and trying to work everything. And so, yeah, that makes him a target as like a kingpin. But then, yeah, Jeremy was like a little more behind the scenes. Yeah. And he very subtly, when he wanted Steven to stay, he was super diplomatic about it. Instead of like, no, but that guy's on my side. Like, he was like, but what about these girls we said we were going to get rid of?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought that moment was really key. And, you know, Spencer played a big part in that, too. Spencer and Jeremy were kind of like good cop there in that moment. They were just both kind of on either side of Savage in the hammock, just kind of going like, well, what about this? What about this? And, you know, trying to keep Steven safe.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really play up Spencer's role in that, but he did play a part.
Do you think Steven had any idea how much danger he was in?
I don't know. When he blogs, we might find out in his blog this week.
Right.
It's tough to say.
He not have known. Like, because he was so close to being out. Like, and he was being so mopey, like,
well,
seemed really obvious. I was shocked then when it, like, turned back around on him.
I know, and everybody was ready to vote him out.
The funny thing is, as soon as immunity's over and you start hearing about the first person they talk about voting out, you know that person is safe. Like, 98% of the time, the first person that gets pitched right after immunity is like, okay, they're safe.
Right. Usually you're like, you look at your, you know, the time left in the show and you go, okay, something's going to turn around, or there's going to be a crazy long tribal council, or, you know, occasionally you know who it is the whole time. And it's sort of like a major, like it's somebody who needs a comeuppance and they know the audience will really enjoy watching it all play out.
Right.
What was great about last night was the shock. Like, You knew Kelly was probably going to play her idol. I don't know how she knew she was the one targeting.
They showed that moment where Joe was like, I think Joe told her.
Oh, yeah.
Because they showed the moment where Sierra was like, who is it? Is it me? And Kelly goes, it's me, isn't it? And Joe's like, I don't know yet. But you could tell the way he said, I don't know yet, sounded like he did know.
Right. And of course, he might have told her more. And he might have come back and told her later, like, hey, just so you know.
Yeah,
so,
I'm voting against you.
We're all voting against you. And again, they all underestimated her. But that wasn't the point I was initially trying to make, which has long been forgotten.
So that made me have like a question, which has anyone ever just been openly like, hey, this guy really sucks. Let's all vote for him, like in front of his face, because I think that's how I would have played it with Steven. Like, hey, I can tell we all hate him and he just needs to leave as soon as possible. Can we all just agree we're voting for him and there's nothing he can do about it?
It's been done. It was done to Kelly Wentworth in her first season when Drew, basically a badass Drew, one of the most notoriously bad but entertaining players of all time, said, Kelly Wentworth, we need to get rid of her. She knows everything about this game. She's a snake in the grass. Let's vote her out. And she was standing like 4 feet away. And then
he didn't care or he didn't know?
He didn't care because he was so arrogant.
He was really arrogant.
And guess who went home that night?
Him.
Yep.
Right. Good guess.
That's the problem when you start talking so outwardly about your plans, it can bite you in the butt real quick.
Yeah. It happens occasionally. You know, somebody didn't Aris do it in Panama. He was like, "You're next," and then "You're next," and of course, even though he did go on to win, it didn't work out that way in terms of who was next.
Yeah, telling someone they're next is just it's like saying, I got this game under control. I'm going to win. It's never going to work out in your favor.
But I do think that it happens fairly often where they do tell the person, and they don't show it on the show, but where they tell the person like, you are going, there's all these votes against you, and the person knows it and there's nothing they can do about it, but they don't really show it because it takes away the suspense.
Yeah. What about the astronaut guy in, was it Panama? I think the season.
Yeah, I think they all told him he was going to go. Or in Thailand, they decided as a group a couple times, like, we have to get rid of somebody and we love each other so much. Who's it going to be? You know, but like, yeah, I think like Cass has said in her exit interviews that last week she knew for sure she was going.
Yeah.
There was never any doubt.
And but they edited it so that it seems like maybe there's doubt. Which is nice for us as viewers because it would be boring.
But yeah, I don't know. I completely forgot where I was going.
I loved watching Cass on the sidelines of the tribal council, just making faces the whole time.
Man, there were some great faces in this episode.
Speaking of faces, what Sierra?
She did the triple eye roll. It was
with like cross eyes.
It was impressive.
It made her look insane.
I loved it.
Do you know? Oh, I told you. Her mother is running for the legislature in Oregon.
As
a Republican, of course. They're
ding ding
they're,
ding.
They're very intense Republicans, those two. Sierra's first season, Megan, she played with her mother. It was what they call a blood versus water season where they have pairs play.
And she famously voted her mom out, which I'm surprised we didn't hear about last night because we hear about it in every episode.
Right.
I mean, when you go on that situation, you kind of, isn't that a thing of just like you got to play the game even if it means mom's got to leave, right? Like,
Yeah. And it wasn't really that. They tried to play it like it was this big controversial thing.
They didn't need Sierra to vote her mom out. Sierra could have voted for the other person or a different person.
It was more like, Mom, I know you're going to go, so I need to vote with the majority.
I don't want to alienate my buds.
She didn't, like, blindside her mom. Oh, what I was going to say was that it was such a great vote last night because we knew Kelly was going to play it, but then the more times they read off her name, you know, Wentworth does not count, And
it was so exciting.
And then you figured out that they weren't splitting the votes, and there were like an endless number of votes against her. It was like, oh my God, whoever she voted for is going to go. And that was the big suspense.
And then as soon as they read that first one,
as soon as they pulled up Savage's name, you're just like, there he goes.
Yes.
That was so badass.
It was exciting. And they had been setting up Savage as this guy that we wanted to see go home. Certainly super fans just don't like the guy this season because he's a humble braggy.
He's been super humble.
He's been humble bragging all season.
By the way, Megan, he has a really hot wife.
Australian
and
supermodel.
A lot of money. And everything is perfect in his life.
Wow, he sounds really cool.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know why you guys don't like him.
He's a leader who can't help but be a leader because that's just who he is. That's Andrew Savage. He's a leader. He's a born leader. Go ahead.
Oh, I just said I'm impressed.
How about the way that he demonizes Steven week after week for being a terrible person, for plotting and scheming, when that's the fucking game you're playing?
Steven is diabolical.
He's called him much worse than diabolical as well.
He said that he was like a bad person and disgusting, low moral character, low life scum. And it's like, dude, two episodes ago, Savage did all this scheming behind Spencer's back, tried to get Spencer out while telling him to his face that he was on his side.
Yeah,
so it's okay for him.
Isn't it interesting that Savage has targeted cerebral, strategic minded men more than anything else?
That's his biggest, in his psychology, that's what threatens him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, his thing is that he sees Steven and he's like, that's someone who's filling my role, so I got to get rid of him. Because they're the same. They're both wieners. Like, they're both wieners. They're not winning challenges. They're manipulating.
Well,
but
Savage
like,
wins challenges.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's certainly capable of it, but he's an alpha male. And he's an alpha male, and Steven is like, I don't know.
Steven's a nerd.
What's the Greek symbol for C? Because that's what Steven is.
He's not an alpha or a beta. I mean, Savage would be the guy kicking sand in Steven's face on the beach.
Yeah, totally.
He's the muscly bully, and Steven's the mopey nerd.
To me, Savage isn't a bully as much as he is professory. Like, he thinks he's in charge, is what I saw.
Oh, you know, when he puts those glasses on, he does kind of look professory.
Yeah, well, he definitely thinks he's in charge, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess not a bully, but he's so smug, he thinks that he should be the winner.
Yeah. You know,
he's entitled to win. And somebody like Steven, who can't win challenges and is diabolical and is of low moral character, does not deserve to win, is not entitled to win. You know, so
well, the funny thing is, based on this episode, you would agree with Savage. Steven just comes across so gross in this episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Steven has been having the worst season, like image wise. He's gonna have a tough time coming back into the.
Well, the funny thing is, super fans will always love him, and they love him even more because of this. But
I guess,
but. Casual fans or fans that, you know, aren't as encyclopedic about the show as you and I are, Scott, are definitely getting bad vibes from Steven. There's a lot of people who probably want to see him go.
Oh, yeah. Including our guests today. I mean, but it's one thing, like, I could see Savage being like, you know, they're plotting, Steven's plotting behind my back to get out my alliance, so I have to get him out. Like, that's fair game. But Steven's plotting behind my back, that makes him a terrible person.
Yeah, I mean, no, that sort of attitude is like an easy way to lose the game of Survivor. If you start making judgments like that, don't you think? It's like you can't start thinking of it in terms of like good versus evil. And
it's old school, Ryan.
Yeah, it is old school.
It's old school. It's old school. It's old, 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 old school.
Right.
Well, I was happy to see him go, and I was happy to see him play this year. He definitely deserved a second chance, and he was great TV. But this is about the time I expected him to go.
You know what's
funny
is
last week
he went out with 9 to go on his first season too, or like he went out in the same
he
exact
went out
time.
10th place last time.
Yeah,
with there were 9. There were.
Oh right, yeah, yeah.
There were only.
He went out 9th both times.
Did he?
That's what it was. Yeah, the 9th person voted out.
Well, no,
times.
there were
only 18.
12 people in the game left yesterday, so he was the 12th person out. Right.
There's 11 people left now, so he was the 9th person voted out. Don't worry about it.
It was around the same time.
It's the exact same time, if you take into account that there were 18 people who played Pearl Islands. Anyways.
16,
right.
How dare you.
Anyways.
This time he made the jury.
This time he made the jury. Good for him.
And so once you're in the jury, are you like a tie settler? What's going on there?
The jury decides at the final tribal council. They vote on the winner.
Okay.
That's why Cass gets to come watch, because she needs to have information to decide who to vote for to win.
So mm-hmm. every week, every episode, the jury will increase, you know, as they watch the final tribal, or as they watch the tribal councils.
And Scott, I recommend to you and any other listeners who are interested to watch Andrew Savage's Ponderosa video. Megan Ponderosa is where they go when they are voted out. The jury hangs out at Ponderosa.
Okay.
Because
it's the nickname for where they go.
His video is fantastic. He's like so bitter, so upset. And when he gets there, he's like, I don't want to have anything to do with Cass. I can't stand her. She, you know, she's a terrible person. And then it's like cut to one day later. You know what? That's not how I feel. Cass has been really great. I really like Cass. We get along. It's like, it's so funny.
Because well, he was so caught up in it, and he was like the last few episodes, he's been sort of such a baby.
Yeah.
You know, like everything that doesn't go his way.
He's entitled, man. He's entitled.
Right. He's entitled, and he's not used to things not going his way. But, you know, I read a couple Cass interviews after she got booted, and she. And Cass, by the way, Megan is known for being not the nicest person within the game. And she said she
I
was.
I could tell from her face.
Yeah. Yeah. Her face is a little smug. She claims that she really relished being the first member of the jury and the queen of Ponderosa. And she got such a bad reception at Ponderosa her first season that she wants to give everybody a warm, wonderful welcome and be nice and not have any bitterness. So maybe she completely won Andrew over by
she
being
delivers. Like, she remembered that he loves white wine and has a glass of white wine ready for him as soon as he gets there. It's
loves white wine?
Like what? Yeah, of course he does, right? I mean,
well, he is white and he does do a lot of whining. So
hi-o.
Hey.
If we had the where's our cowbell sound effect for that?
We got Frank back.
All right. Well, is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to talk about before we get into our segments?
How about my weekly mention that we heard nothing from Abby Maria?
Yeah, it's insane. So, Megan, earlier in the season, Abby Maria was like the star of Survivor.
I do not even know who that is.
Exactly. She was one of the three women that voted for Andrew. She was like high-fiving Kelly at the end, along with Sierra.
Okay. She's the one who told Steven to get over it when he said he was having a low moment.
Gotcha.
And then at the end, she told Andrew when he got voted off, like, at least you made the jury. gave her the middle finger.
Got it.
Yeah.
So she was like, she's completely unstable within the game and completely.
Very much a source of conflict.
A source of conflict and chaos. And she will, like, you could say to her, hey, Abby, you know, how you doing today? And she'd be like, why are you talking to me with that tone of voice?
Oh, great.
And you would have a fight on your hands.
Yeah. So the fact that she's not being shown at all is very interesting, because I'm sure there's Krabby Abby moments they could play for us.
But it's like she's completely disappeared.
Well, she's not important to the story anymore, right? She was really important to the story then.
But it's a choice. I mean, when they voted out Wu, she could have been very important to that story because she hated Wu. The fact is that week they wanted to vote out Andrew, and they needed her for the votes, and she said, no, but I'll vote out Wu, and so who's, you know, his buddy. So they went with Wu. So she had a major impact. They didn't show any of that.
Yeah, fair point.
So what's going on, Ryan?
I think that means she's probably gone soon, and in not an interesting way, possibly in a double episode, maybe.
Could things turn around in such a crazy way that the final three is Wentworth, Abby, and Sierra?
I mean, that would be insane. If for that to happen, it would have to be one of the best seasons ever.
Wouldn't that explain why Kelly wins?
I mean, certainly she'll beat those two, yeah. But you're assuming Kelly wins.
Yeah. I'm going to assume that till the second she gets
I don't know how you can assume that when Keith is obviously winning.
Yeah. Keith is winning the tuk-tuk driving championship.
Toto's. Yeah.
I feel like Keith will not win Survivor, but he will win like a local congressperson race.
He will
win.
Well, he'll
be the mayor of Keithville. He's literally from the town called Keithville. That's actually the town where he's from.
In Louisiana. He lives in Keithville. It's the greatest. And, you know, we also didn't see much of Tasha. Like, there's a few people who were huge, huge in the edit and have disappeared. And Tasha's one of them.
Well, that's good, though, because now we're getting some people that we didn't before, like Sierra, for example.
Right. Sierra had been invisible till last week. So it's weird.
It's great. I love the editing this season. Some people think it's been way too Spencer heavy, but luckily this episode they got way away from him.
Yeah. Kimmy also still invisible.
Yeah, she had that one episode where she got to vote out. She got to choose who they voted out, and that's it.
Right, that was it.
For the clams.
That was it. All right, we can go to our segments, sure.
Okay, well, while we're talking about winner picks, do we want to get a winner pick from Megan?
Yes.
Based on one episode, Megan.
Some of our guests in last season correctly called it, so you never know.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of this. Okay, when you were talking about Abby Maria, I was actually thinking, like, on The Bachelor, sometimes they bury somebody in the edit because they want it to be a surprise when they do really well. So maybe she's getting buried in the middle and they're kind of losing track of her so that then when she comes back out on the other side, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So now I'm kind of like, I think maybe Abby Maria is going to be the winner.
If Abby wins this season, it will be the greatest season of all time.
You'll be the greatest predictor of all. She's like the one person. She and Steven are the two players that, like, I think Ryan and I seem confident cannot win. But
I have faith in her.
That's beautiful.
I love that.
Who would Abby have to be sitting next to in the final three to win?
Sierra. I think she could maybe beat Sierra. And she would have to be with Steven.
Yeah. That would be absolutely hilarious.
Let's do it. I still think Sierra probably wins that one, but man, I would love to see that.
Did anything else happen last night that we need to discuss? It seemed like such an action-packed episode.
Well, so much of it was just strategy going back and forth, and there was so much time sort of wasted on setting up Steven as the target.
Right.
And honestly, the challenges were very long, too.
Thanks for being honest.
Do we want to talk about the mechanics of that cool square block challenge? Like the puzzle aspect of that?
The mechanics of it?
I just think, like, yeah, I'm interested in games and puzzles, so.
It made me really stressed.
is all I know.
Like, you talk about it. I don't have anything.
Well,
I
thought it's like, it's just a very, I mean, they've done it before, obviously. They did it, what, season one, right? So I think it's just a very elegant puzzle for a situation like that also involves physical skill. I don't know. I love, and we talked about this with when we had Miles on, but I love it when the puzzle is very simple,
mm-hmm.
not a million parts. It's just like this, very simple. Just like make sure the colors don't repeat.
I think my brain is so wired against like solving anything or winning any challenges that I always immediately space out when Jeff Probst starts explaining the rules of the challenge without fail. And I pay such close attention to Survivor. It's like one of the only shows that I make sure I sit down, you know, no computer, no phone. I focused in like a laser. I wait till the kids are asleep, you know, and I just, boom. My mind goes blank when he starts explaining the rules. And it's like I'm watching it out of body. Like I'm watching the puzzle being solved and I'm just like, I can tell who's ahead or behind because of the commentary.
Yeah,
but
that really helps, right?
I don't know what's going on half the time. And I'm just like, it'll become clear. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Well, how excited was Steven, though? I mean, we talked about this briefly when you said that Jeff was like, couldn't wait to tell him he was wrong. But Steven was so excited that he had done a puzzle right. He's like, this is what I'm good at.
This is my time to shine. But I'm not on Joe's team.
Yeah.
Steven thought he had it. Jeff's commentary also earlier with Kelly, who won this, you know, Wigglesworth, that is. But the part where they were having trouble on the river and he was like, the water, he's like, Kelly Wigglesworth, the river rafting guide who can't guide the down the river. You know, it was just like he loves those. And anytime he's like, so Keith played this before and Kelly and Jeremy played it before. You know, Keith won. The others didn't. So a big second chance story right here.
Yeah.
Any chance he has.
Yeah.
To mention the second chance story.
Yeah, well, it's the theme of the season. He has to, right? He's contractually obligated to. Remember last season how he just kept talking about white collar, blue collar, no collar, like every episode?
I sort of wish he would like lose track of where he is and just be like, you know, we've got Keith played this and Jeremy played it. This is a real white collar versus brawn kind of a challenge, and he just completely loses track of what season he's in.
He's mixing up.
Okay, let's get to our segments. Megan, we have segments that demand immediate opinions from you, so let's get started.
Yeah,
these segments are all named after famous or not so famous quotes from Survivor, so just so there's a little context for you. And our first one is,
Hold up.
All right, this is Hold Up, Bro. This is where we talk about the moment we said, hold up. I got to watch that again. And maybe we rewound our DVR.
Or something.
Yeah. And we already talked about my answer.
Which is what?
Sierra's eye roll. I mean, it was crazy.
You rewound that?
Not literally. I mean, this
I wanted to get away from it. It scared me.
I loved it.
I thought it was so weird. Like,
it was a gif-able moment, as the kids say now.
Yeah, I love the kids. I think mine was in the same. It wasn't like usually I pick like a moment that made me laugh, but I rewound and made my wife sit through again the entire reading of the votes.
It was
because it was
times.
Just such an amazing moment, and like the reveal of Andrew and the reaction, the whole thing. I was like, I got to see it again.
Yeah. As soon as Kelly starts reaching for her idol, there is so much chatter like, oh my God, no, it is exciting.
But they applauded her too.
Well, the people who didn't get voted out did.
Yeah.
Because they know next week she doesn't have an idol.
Right.
Well, I think everyone
respected her move. Even the people who had voted for her were like, damn, that was slick.
Yeah, I agree. That was something slick.
I think my moment I already spoke of, which was when Steven whined about how low he was feeling. But my other one would be when Andrew was laying in that hammock and everyone was just squatting around him as if they were his servants or something. I did not understand like why he got that power position, and it made me really angry.
Yeah, he was so – how did it start? He was laying in the hammock. It looked like he was in the hammock half the episode. There's the moment where he's in the hammock and Joe comes up to say hi, and he's like, let's talk about something.
Like people coming and going from his throne. It was like a very kingpin kind of thing. And I was really wishing someone would just like flip him out of the hammock.
Yeah, they're good for that.
By the way, Megan, where did they get the hammocks? Joe made them.
What?
It's like fishing net or something.
It's like fishing net or something. And Joe is just like, you guys, after I catch a bunch of fish for you to eat, why don't you rest in these hammocks I made from the net?
I don't need these nets to catch fish.
I'm basically Aquaman.
Jeez. Yeah. All right, Joe's growing on me here.
He is the perfect man. Yeah. When he was almost when his balls, which got a lot of mention last night.
Oh my god.
Joe's balls are moving. Joe's balls are rolling around.
I mean, it's gotten to the point now where it's so obvious these like challenge Jeff saying things in the challenge about balls that I don't even pull the clips anymore. They're just like,
notice it. But when all that was going on, my wife is what I'd call a more casual fan. She watches every episode with me, so she's into it. She follows it, but she doesn't. Once the show's off, she doesn't think about it for 1 second until the next one. Whereas
she's a healthy human being.
unlike myself. Exactly. So she was watching it and she's like, no, Joe, no. You know, like Joe's so likable and he's so perfect. And she's like, no, Joe. I'm like, honey, what's going on here? She's like, well, I don't want Joe to lose. He's got to win so he can stay in the game.
I did want him to win, yeah.
I'm like, well, but wouldn't it be more interesting if he loses? That still doesn't mean he's going to get voted off.
It did mean that he was getting voted off.
That didn't hold any sway on my couch last night.
I think you were wrong is why. But I was just rooting for Keith because why not?
Because
he's
my
winner pick.
And look, I love Keith and I would.
I know. I'm just like going all in on Keith. I don't think he's going to win anymore, but.
I love Keith, but I wouldn't even necessarily be thrilled if he won because he's not much of a player.
No, it would be a terribly disappointing
season. If you compared him to Bob Crowley, that'd be what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Likeable older guy who wins by default.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, right, Megan? Bob Crowley.
Bob Crowley. You don't always talk about that.
Season 17.
I remember it. You don't have to tell me.
Of course,
yeah. All right, let's move on to our next segment, and here it is.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
What's the time?
It's time to get
ill regrets.
All right, this is ill regrets. I'm not even going to fix that. This is ill regrets. This is who do we think will have ill regrets about a choice or decision or move they made? And obviously, you can't pick Andrew Savage. So,
I have,
aside from Keith receiving a traffic citation from the Cambodian government after the show is over, I am going to pick Scott for picking Kelly Wentworth to win the season.
All right, fair game.
I think her story is done, and she's gone next week.
In some ways, I hope you're right, because to me, she's the obvious winner. And any time that they upend my
that's interesting. I actually think that Spencer is the obvious winner based on that.
I think he's the other obvious winner. I think there's a couple. I think you're right. I think it could be Spencer. But I feel like Spencer is being edited to almost win. And Kelly is being edited to show us, you know, that we'll be satisfied enough when she does win, that we're seeing enough of her.
Yeah.
If she or Spencer gets voted out, and I like them both, but I would be happy because I'm always wanting to be surprised.
But then if everyone who seems like they're going to win is voted out, you're left with people like Keith and Kimmy and stuff. So
that's true. Well, like if Steven won, it would be a surprise. If
Wigglesworth
won, it would still be a surprise.
If Steven wins the season, it will be top three season of all time. That's my call right now. It's just so unpredictable.
It's already a great
season.
If Steven
wins, I'm leaving the country.
Some people say that, like, you know, if Ben Carson wins, I'm leaving. No. For you, it's who wins Survivor.
Exactly.
She's going to leave the country and go to Cambodia. And drive tuk-tuks.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm your ill regret. Okay.
Yes.
And you think she's gone next.
I don't see. It just reminds me of so many times when a player on the bottom plays an idol. They just are like, well, I'm gone next.
Right. It did
happen.
You know,
the only way I could see her not going next is if Joe doesn't win immunity.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. Or you know, we saw on the next time on, there is an idol up for grabs in the middle of the challenge.
Right. She could grab it.
She could grab it. I think you'd be a fool to grab that. I don't care who you are.
Not if you're in the bottom.
Yeah, I guess if you have nothing to lose.
If you're Kelly or Sierra.
Yeah, she's got to get out from the bottom. I don't know.
I think she will. I think she's going to be able to land in another alliance. I think the way these things go is that, you know, after a couple, if she can make it through the next vote or so, things shake out in a different way and people's focus and attention turns to somebody else.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Actually, I don't know. I hope you're wrong.
All right. Well, who do I think will have ill regrets from last night? It would help if I thought these things through before we started podcasting. Gosh.
Yeah, that would help, Scott.
It hasn't happened yet. Not likely to happen again.
I think I have my ill regret.
Go ahead.
Sierra will regret just being so like whiny kind of with her criticism of everyone. I think there's no way they're like taking that with good naturedly, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. That's a good call.
I agree. I think she's right, but not in the way she's presenting it.
Yeah. She's like, is very accusatory, as if she's like the only one who's doing things correctly.
Right. We were watching it and my wife was like, well, I don't understand what she means by like nobody's playing the right way.
Yeah,
like, she means that nobody's playing the way she wants them to play.
I think she's just repeating the same loops that she used her first time playing when she was trying to convince everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It just, yeah, or she's like taking too much from her first time playing when she realized that she was on the bottom and it was too late. So,
yeah. No, I think she's
mad no one's playing with her. Like, they're playing, but they're not including her in their games and switches and stuff.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, it does seem very whiny.
I think Steven overall should have some ill regrets. And one of them is this obsessive focus on Joe. Like, you just have to relax and just, he will lose one day and then you start pushing. Don't push for him to go. I mean, maybe the theory is you're relaying the groundwork, but he made himself a target unnecessarily.
Well, I think they're really trying to make Steven into a villain this season, and it's obviously working because Joe is such a fan favorite.
But I don't know, is he a villain or is he just somebody that people think is pathetic?
I think he's also a villain. Because think about it from the position of casual fans who love Joe, and if they're only showing one person targeting that person, then that person they're showing targeting has to be the villain.
Hmm.
I think Steven probably makes it far and he's the villain and doesn't win. That's my guess. And they're just sort of setting him up as like a hapless villain, like a, like, you know, not a intentional villain, but because so much of this season, I have to second guess what's going on based on the fact that all these people were voted in by the public. And so CBS knows who's more popular.
Right. So they're going to make Joe look better than Steven, who probably made it in by the skin of his teeth.
Well, maybe, or maybe Joe just was like, got so many votes far and away above everyone else that they go, okay, it's easy to make someone into a villain by just showing them being against Joe.
I'm going to actually say whoever, but I don't know who this is, like whoever decided not to split the vote.
Yeah, that, I mean, that was just, it's such a bonehead move.
I'm glad they didn't, because it was such an amazing moment.
Yeah.
And if they didn't, it's really boring when just a huge dominant alliance. But anybody who, especially those people who Sierra was trying to reach, the people who aren't in that core four or five. You know, yeah. It was sort of funny that she said the fourth person was either Steven or Joe, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that what's interesting about that is that it's actually right. It's just whichever one of those wins out. They're both fighting for that fourth spot.
And it also shows that Steven is more ingrained than the edit really is letting us know. But the people like Wigglesworth and Spencer and Kimmy, you know, they're playing too safe. They could have joined up with the minority to overthrow the majority.
Agreed. Agreed. But then where are they in that majority?
Then they can become the majority of the minority.
I think you wait. You wait until 9. It's so clear you can get rid of the three. I mean, this is what they probably plan on doing: is they wait. You wait until there's 9 people left. You get rid of Sierra, Kelly, and Abby Maria. You've got 9 people who have been voting together to get rid of those three, and then you fight over getting 5 versus 4. Then you know, like you make moves at odd numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it would be a safe ticket to get to final 9.
Just get rid of those getting three. To final, I don't know. That seems like you're waiting too long to me.
No, it's easy to make. I mean, it's 9 is a perfect time to make your move and get out the top of the food chain.
If you can get out the top of the food chain now, why not?
Because there's these other 3 people that are floating around that can be used against you by the top of the food chain next week.
Well, I meant you team up with those 3. You don't just happen to vote.
Well, you did see Joe did try to do that to get out Steven.
Right. That's true.
Anyways.
Let's,
should we move on to our final segment?
No, let's keep this one going forever.
We only like it if it's loud. We only like it if it's loud.
I can get loud too. What the f? Loud
to me. All right, this is getting loud. Who got loud? Who stood out? Who impressed you?
Who stood out in a good way?
Yes.
That's a tough one.
I mean, it's pretty easy, right?
Oh, yeah. Kelly.
Obvious answer.
I forgot about her for a second. That's how under the radar she is.
I want to give Kelly credit, though, for something other than playing the idol. And I think here's where she stood out in particular to me, was when she said, someone came to me to change this vote. I'm not going to say who, because I might need to work with them. I thought that was really smart to plant the seeds of doubt.
Yes.
Without outing Joe, in this case,
another way that she's playing a really good game. And that she gave Probst like an answer to the question to satisfy his probing, his Probsting. But it was an answer that didn't reveal anything. Like, instead of just saying, no, I'm not going to say anything or avoiding the topic, to just blatantly say like, yeah, there are people and I'm not revealing and here's why.
You know, it was particularly smart knowing that she was probably going to be sending Andrew home, because Joe's tightest alliance member on the big group of 9 is Andrew. And so now she knows, okay, I not only showed loyalty to Joe, he knows he can trust me, but I also now will be able to easily win him away from that group if I need to.
Yeah. another reason why she will not be voted out next week.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're wrong, but I like the move regardless.
I was right about Amber.
In season 7.
Season 8. So sorry. Screw my bad. You.
Oops.
Yeah, I have to think that, like, Kelly has now proved herself. Like, they wouldn't just be like, oh, good, her idol's gone. Now we can pick her off. Like, that was a really powerful move. I think they just refocus on somebody else who seems a little weaker.
I mean, I think that there's two options. One is that they vote her out next because now she doesn't have her idol. Or that powerful move attracts people to her.
Mm. Yeah, that could be interesting. We'll see. I mean, often when people play the idol, they just go home the next week. But who knows?
Not always.
I mean, it will be more interesting if it isn't just her. Just because
not
that's what
Parvati,
I expect.
Not Russell, not so many.
But they used their idol to get the numbers. In this case, like, this idol move, just still, she's down 8-3 now. Right.
Yes, she is in a bad spot. She's in a tough spot. But she had no choice. She had to use it.
But without organizing those people, who is now in charge of that alliance? He seemed to be doing a lot of orchestrating for them. So who's going to step up to fill that void? It can't be Steven. They don't even, respect him.
I think it'll be Jeremy. And I think it actually already has been Jeremy all along.
He's just more subtle about it.
Yeah, yeah.
People come to him with their ideas, and then he just shoots it down. So he's not as actively organizing people.
Yeah, Jeremy is playing a killer game. I mean, just a fantastic game. Really impressive. I know I said that about Tyler last season, but...
Yes, you sure did.
This is the real deal. Jeremy's game is the real deal.
Tyler was invisible last season, and Jeremy's not. Also, Jeremy has an idol. And as far as we know, he hasn't told anybody about it.
Yeah. Man, he's playing great.
It hasn't come up at all. You know, it has not been relevant yet, whereas we've seen multiple references to Kelly's, probably because it was going to be played. But it'll be interesting if we start seeing...
It's really hard for me to determine who's going to win... Because there's several really good candidates.
I know, it's great.
I love it.
It's great. The seasons where there's only one candidate are the worst. Some of the best winners, the very best winners, the seasons have been the most boring.
Right.
Because there's only been one person.
Your Robs and your Kim Spradlins.
Exactly. And it's like you've got, it's like watching Michael Jordan play with a bunch of, you know, rookies.
Right.
Huh? See, I know sports. Well, Jordan.
You know, the most famous athlete in the history of modern.
Really good at sports.
When I was a teenager, there was a Greek restaurant in downtown Minneapolis that was called USA Number One Greek Restaurant. And they had adorning the outside a repeating logo, like the Nike Jordan in Flight logo was on their restaurant. They just used it.
That was USA. USA Number One Survivor.
Yeah.
Well, I am really excited. The season is still delivering. It has more than made up for the fiasco that was last season. And
I know I was just thinking about how great it is to watch this and not feel gross afterwards.
Wow.
There were some real scumbags on last season.
I always
sounds
feel
dramatic. Gross.
Not all of them, but
there were some people last year, Megan, that would have made your skin crawl. But this season so far, one of the greats. And Megan Miley Green, so far one of the greats in terms of our guests. Yes.
Thank you for joining us, Megan.
I'm real Kim Spradlin, you might say.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like the Kim Spradlin of guests.
Yeah, I picked up on that.
Yeah.
Kim Spradlin, the winner of what season, Megan?
Ah, Oh God, it's so hard to remember. It was probably 19.
Oh, you're close.
Very close. Very ish.
19-ish. It's
19-ish. We'll go with 19-ish.
Yeah, I was going through a lot during that time, so it's hard for me to remember.
I'll give you a hint, and then Ryan can just splice it together, and no one in our audience will be the wiser. What was that great show with Kiefer Sutherland?
24.
Right. Oh, she knows her Survivor.
How did you do that? Oh. Amazing.
Oh. Wow.
Megan, where can we find you on the internet and to see more and hear more of your delightful witticisms and musings on today's world?
I'm glad you asked. I am at Megan Miley Green on Twitter.
How do you spell that?
Megan, M-E-G-A-N, Miley, M-A-I-L-E, and then green like the color. And I mean, that's really it right now.
Your web show?
On IFC's Comedy Crib, IFC.com, you can see my web series, Does Dave Know We're Here? It's great. Check it out.
Very cool.
And is that question ever answered?
It is, actually, in the very last episode. I mean, that doesn't give anything away, but if you watch to the end, you might get to see Dave.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
And, of course, we could read The Onion or Clickhole, and you never know what might have come from you.
There's no way to tell, so you can just assume I wrote it all.
I love that. That's what I love about The Onion, knowing someone who's written for The Onion. Even if they just, like, I had a friend in college who just, like, pitched ideas.
And yeah, anytime a friend is like, oh, did you write this one? I'm like, no, I didn't, but thank you for thinking I did.
Well, once we were together and I laughed at a tweet or something from The Onion and I showed it to you and you're like, oh, I wrote that.
Yeah.
Was that true?
Of course. I don't lie about which ones I write.
That can get you in trouble.
Yeah, they frown upon it.
Sure they do.
I mean, they frown upon their readers knowing which people wrote which ones to begin with, obviously.
Yeah, that's true. She's a very funny lady. Check out her Twitter.
Yeah, great Twitter
check
account.
Out her web
definitely
show.
Worth a follow.
Ryan, where could we find you?
As always, I'm at Ryan Elder Music.
And as always, I too am at Ryan Elder Music.
But what's your sub account? What's your secondary?
My sub account is at Scott Chernoff. And you know, or Google me, whatever. And please, you know, Ryan, I noticed we had a couple new reviews on iTunes. So I want to encourage people.
I haven't seen those.
They're from like a couple weeks ago, so maybe you saw them.
I can't wait to see those.
You know, we love reviews, even if you're trashing
us.
Yeah,
a great way to make Scott and I happy and reward us for being such
nerds
is to just give us a review, even if it's bad. Like, our one bad review has given us endless entertainment.
We got almost universe. And by the way, we do get paid by the star, and we've gotten a lot of 5-star reviews.
So even if you give us 1 star, we're still getting paid.
Even that 1-star review we got gave us a little bit of lunch money, and it was the greatest 1-star review ever. They were angry that we hadn't posted yet, and they said we were half-assed, as though this is our job. And Megan, I want to ask, you mentioned this earlier, referred, but I always like to ask our guests, would you watch the rest of this season, or are you done with Survivor?
I am now considering it, and I'm really pissed at you guys for that, because I don't want to watch this show. But I was like, all the way through it, I was like, no. And then when there was that reversal at the council, I was like, God damn it. Now I want to know what happens.
Now you're in.
Yeah.
Well, we can continue to send you the link every week.
I'd be into that. That'd be great.
All right.
You can join our list of former guests who continue to receive the link despite their initial reluctance to watch the show. Who knows whether they're actually watching the links, but they...
But I will say this, you know, if you ever wanted to come back on the podcast, it's better to not watch the show.
Right. The more you watch, the less we want you as a guest. So conversely, if this was not a fun experience for you, keep watching the show. I'll never ask you again to be on it.
So now we know.
There's a system in place. I see.
Yeah, it's very strategic.
But thank you for coming on. It was great. This is really fun. Such a great episode.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. You are welcome. You know, we don't get thanked enough.
That's for fantastic. Our
fantastic. Fantastic. Love it.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Talk to you next week.
The tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.